Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So, Tropical Storm or Hurricane Barry never really panned out. Got people all fired up for something that just simply did not happen. As a matter of fact, here in the city of New Orleans, the rainstorm that happened last Wednesday morning that flooded the city and shut down the city of New Orleans, that was much, much worse than Tropical Storm or Hurricane Barry. A couple of hours of hard rain is actually closed the city down, shut down the city of New Orleans 3 days before the tropical storm hurricane even showed up. And a bizarre scene in the city of New Orleans as the city was shut down Wednesday, completely shut down. Thursday, it was partially shut down. Things started to reopen on Thursday, although City Hall, the idiot box, remained closed on Thursday. And then Friday, nobody showed up for anything in New Orleans because everybody was freaking out about Tropical Storm Hurricane Barry.
It's like a seven-day weekend.
And then Saturday,
the
city of New Orleans was shut down again. And then Sunday, yesterday, it started to slowly open again. The only things that were open from Wednesday through Sunday were some bars, a couple of restaurants, not much. But over the last 5 days or so, the city of New Orleans pretty much out of business. And the Rolling Stones concert did not need to be delayed, did not need to be postponed until tonight. But it was.
The only argument I would make for that, and it's not, well, let me just say this. The only thing that was really out of the ordinary was that Armstrong International Airport was, if not virtually, then completely shut down on Saturday.
Yeah, they shut that down all day Saturday.
And so that would tend to make things pretty complicated. But you know, it's we were saying this before we left on Friday. It's better safe than stupid.
Well, they have to, and they have to do that with every storm. They would rather be wrong and have you prepared, have us prepared, and then be wrong, than them really not saying much, and disaster happens.
Well, having a lot of the coverage on most of the day on Saturday, I understand the point behind it, because once one of the channels goes wall-to-wall coverage, as we call it, then they all will. And then no one's going to blink until it's just at some point. Very early Saturday evening, I saw Fox 8 had Wheel of Fortune on. And it's like, okay, things are better. We can put on regular programming. We can put on game shows from Friday that were missed.
Yeah, that was...
But here's my thing, and it reminds me of my number one irk, what irks me most about television traffic reports. And I did traffic in this town for 4 or 5 years, many years ago, before many of you listening were born. And they will start out by saying, if you're driving, you shouldn't be watching TV. And my point is that TV traffic is just a nicety. Radio traffic is different because you're in your car. But if you're driving and you're listening to TV traffic, well, that just doesn't work. It used to be the Channel 6. You could pick it up way down the dial on FM, but since they went to digital. Here's my point. The number of people, the people that were affected most by this, the Bayou parishes, some of the river parishes, we saw them on TV thanks to some of the stand-up reporters doing what they needed to do. We saw people rescuing cattle, rescuing horses. That did not need to be wall-to-wall coverage in New Orleans. No. It just didn't, because those people, the people that you're trying to alert in these parishes, they're already doing what they need to be doing. They're not watching TV. They are not depending on you, TV weather, for all of that.
And there's nobody in New Orleans. There's no one in New Orleans watching TV saying, "Thank God they saved the cattle, the livestock down there." And
well, somebody might, but and then I hold up this little rectangular thing in my hand. Oh, it's a smartphone. TV weather. I'm sorry, it's becoming superfluous, passe.
They didn't need all of that.
No.
The three local affiliates that went wall to wall, round the clock, with weather coverage. They didn't need.
Nope.
They didn't even need a little bit of that. I guess Brewster, there are still some old people, senior citizens, that'll watch the television news. But where were you getting your hurricane or tropical storm Barry information from? Was it the television, or were you getting it from your cell phone? But we all have our cell phone; we could just check it every few minutes. And I'll be honest with you: when the Weather Channel came down and they sent their 12 or 13 people down here, and we saw out of town national newscasts really overplay the storm, overplay the situation. There was one woman on the Weather Channel who said, "Graves are floating down the street."
Right.
There was one woman, and she said it a couple of times. She looked at a picture, and I guess there was some water in a cemetery, and to her, in her mind, it looked like the actual grave was moving. So I'm flipping through the television on Saturday, and there's a woman on the Weather Channel saying, "Graves are floating down the street in New Orleans." I looked out my window. I didn't see any water, let alone any graves. And was it just the out-of-towners that were guilty? Did you see the headline of the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate, on Saturday morning?
Say it with me on three. One, two, three.
Life-threatening.
Thank you.
Tropical Storm Barry, life-threatening. There was not one life that was even close being threatened.
You know how I am about lists, and one might say that that could be a standing headline, life-threatening. Here's my question. Well, let's say that's whatever number that is on the list. What was the one just underneath that? Maybe a little bit less hyped. I don't know, maybe limb-threatening, not life-threatening. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But and I
don't work for a newspaper, and I don't want to.
I think the local TV stations will always do that. They will always go around the clock, but it's not needed. It's not needed in every. Now look, if you know you want to chime in here, here's the latest. We'll check back in if anything else happens. But you don't have to go around the clock with every storm. You just don't have to. Again, maybe some old people, they're the ones who are wanting. But
look,
most people have their cell phones and the news. And
the only old person up on Saturday at about 3:15 in the morning watching Shelby Latino on Fox 8 was me, because I couldn't sleep that night. I went to bed early, and then it's when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep. It was Shelby, and it was me, and that's pretty much it at that hour. And Bob Breck, friend of the show, wrote a great blog about this, and the first thing he said was taking them to task for taking all of the TV, local TV news reporters and forecasters to task for overhyping it. But as we do, as he did at the end of that blog, which is bobbreck.blogspot.com, it's really worth your while to read it. We're big Bob Breck fans here.
Yeah.
At the end of it, he says, you know, absolutely, you thank them for their time put in, and they're it's not because they're not trying, but it was just at some point on Saturday. I don't know what time it was, but it was enough is enough already, because you are not the people that are most affected by this are doing their thing.
Yeah.
They're not sitting there watching TV waiting for the next step, waiting for you to tell them what to do next.
With our three local affiliates, swing and a miss. Channel 4, swing and a miss, strike one with their hurricane coverage. Fox 8, swing and a miss, strike two with their hurricane coverage. And WDSU, swing and a miss, strike three with their hurricane coverage. And again, look, they'll all tell you we would rather overhype something that never happens than be laissez-faire about something, than be laid back about something, and God forbid something serious happens. They're always going to err on that side of the coin.
And you've been here 11 years. I've been here 21 years. It's not going to change. It's going to happen. It's just one of those things of living in this area. But it's what has changed over the time I've been here is the fact that people don't use television for the immediacy of events like that. Like that time is going away if it's not gone already.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, how many people under the age of 30 you think were watching the television news coverage of Tropical Storm Hurricane Barry? I think probably most people in that demographic, again, they got cell phones. Everybody's got cell phones. That's how we look at our news. What's going on with Barry? Where is it? What's happened?
Well, and certainly where we were at the Brewster homestead, Mrs. Brewster and I, the thing we were concerned about was early on, this is like late Friday, when they were still talking about the river out of its banks, that being the Mississippi, and thankfully that turned out to not be the case. And then at one point they said there could be, I think, 10 to 12 inches of rain in a short amount of time. And of course, we're thinking about that, but... Oh, boy. At some point, they're not going to change. We're going to have to change and just get used to it.
Well, today...
But they're not going to change.
I'm going to do what's become a tradition with me here in New Orleans. I've got a bunch of bread and a bunch of milk in my house. So after the show today, I'm going to be in downtown New Orleans. I'm going to be giving out bread and I'm going to be giving out milk.
Why don't you just cut to the chase and make French toast?
Could do that. I could have a big bread and milk party before the Rolling Stones concert tonight at the Superdome.
There you go.
But I think I'm just going to be handing it out like I've done the last couple of storms.
You go to Big Lots and get a skillet. They're pretty cheap there.
All right. So I'm glad to see we've survived Barry.
And the coverage.
And the coverage, yeah. I think even more so, we survived the coverage of Tropical Storm Hurricane Barry here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
We should mention very quickly, we're just talking about this off the air, the Royal Affair Tour featuring members of Yes and Asia and Carl Palmer, who we had on the show on Friday, and Arthur Brown. That show has been canceled due to circumstances beyond everyone involved, their control, that show has been canceled. So if you had those tickets, go through the usual measures you would go. Pretty much with Ticketmaster, you can get an automatic refund. But that show is not going to happen.
It was supposed to be tonight at the Sanger Theater. Although the Rolling Stones show, which was supposed to be last night at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, is now tonight.
Yes.
And if you're going to that show, we're still having our big pre-Stones concert bash right around the corner from the Superdome at Vintage Rock Club. That's above Walk-Ons on Poydras Street. And we're going to be there before the show, throwing down a few. And the Stones music is going to be great. The Stones videos are going to be great in that place. It's the perfect place for you to get fired up for the Rolling Stones concert tonight. Again, that's at Vintage Rock Club, right around the corner from the Superdome, above Walk-Ons on Poydras Street. And that's going to get going at about 5 o'clock. So I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully we'll see you there with Bayou 95.7.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So the Paul McCartney tour, which came through here, played Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles.
I was there. Well, not Dodger Stadium. I was there when he was here.
Over the weekend.
Yes.
And in Dodger Stadium.
I have audio, by the way.
At Dodger Stadium, Ringo Starr jumped up on stage with him and played two songs. And that's pretty cool when you get two Beatles playing together. Well, they're the only two Beatles left.
It sounded a little something like this. I say like this.
The one and only. Ringo Starr!
I'll be home. I love you, man.
Nah, that's enough. If you're not there, it's like you don't really need to hear that.
Yeah, I think that the cool thing about it is that the two of them actually played together on a stage. And
sure.
That does hasn't happened very often.
And that was the last night of Paul McCartney's Freshen Up tour in L.A. last night. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And something else I found interesting, one of anybody, if you're a fan, you could own John Lennon's decayed tooth, which is going up for auction. Celebrity memorabilia.
You know, I have enough. I have enough decayed teeth of my own. I don't need his.
Yeah, it looks like $31,000 is going to be the price for a decayed molar from John Lennon. Boy, if you're going to spend $31,000 on a dead guy's tooth, you would probably prefer it not to be decayed. Wouldn't you want it in a pristine condition?
Well, let me explain something. This would be the only opportunity because, as many of us know, you're not going to get another opportunity for any of John Lennon's teeth as he was cremated, so...
Is that where you think they got the teeth from?
I have no idea. I'm waiting patiently, as every listener is, to see the story about this tooth.
Well,
I've never heard about this.
It just happens to be one...
It just fell out?
It happens to be one item that is for sale on the celebrity auction I was just reading about. And
are you telling me that Yoko found it under her pillow? I mean, where did this come from?
That's a good question. Then where does the money go? You would
oh,
probably.
I'm sure it's going to go to Yoko because she has all the money and she wants more.
I was just looking here, and that's just something. That's one of the things that just sold at a celebrity stuff auction. And
right.
I have other things here, and it's incredible.
You mean
me.
there's more?
Well, yeah. I mentioned this one when it happened a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Someone paid $317,500 for a used 1979 Trans Am.
That's a little more, I can see that.
Yeah, but you want to know who used it? Because if you're paying $317,500 for a 1979 Trans Am, somebody pretty cool better driven that car.
Was it Burt Reynolds?
That was Burt Reynolds'
car. Burt Reynolds.
We brought that up a few weeks ago. There was a Burt Reynolds auction going on. Someone paid $177,000 for a leather jacket worn by George Harrison.
Oh. I was going to say Henry Winkler.
And then they had the $31,000 for a decayed molar. Again, I love collectibles, but as we sit here in the year 2019, how do we know what is actually legitimate, or someone could just be making this up and say, hey, this tooth, it fell out of John Lennon's mouth.
Well, with automobiles, there's a paper trail generally that is endemic to the passing of an automobile from one owner to the next on down the line. I'm guessing in the case of this tooth, which is described as, quote, yellowy browny with a cavity, end quote.
Yeah.
This is going to, it was, I would imagine that it comes with a certificate of authenticity from John Lennon's dentist.
If he's still alive?
Maybe his son went into dentistry? I don't know. The funny thing is it was actually purchased by a dentist. That's what's great. An Alberta dentist purchased for £19,000, or as you mentioned, about $31,000 U.S., an Alberta, Ontario dentist bought that.
Hey, if you're a fan of these people with this memorabilia... It's very cool, as long as you make sure that this is, it better be John Lennon's tooth if you're paying $31,000 for that disgusting cavity-filled thing.
Yellowy brownie.
Yeah. The movie Grease. Olivia Newton-John wore this black leather suit at the end of the movie.
I'll say she did.
That just got $200,000. And I'm just looking at some of this other stuff recently. People, Nirvana, a set list from a Nirvana club show way back in the day on a greasy paper plate. It was on the backside of a greasy paper plate, just got $22,000.
I can mass produce about 1,000 of those by noon. How many do you need? I can't give you a COD with them, COA.
But. Someone just paid $53,125 for a dress owned and worn by Madonna, and a guitar Prince played went for $89,600. And by the way, Prince is an incredible guitar player.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing Prince couldn't do on the guitar. He just... His music went in a different direction, but boy, if you can go and see for yourself on YouTube, Prince playing incredible guitar solos and doing crazy stuff on guitar.
Search on Google Prince and While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and it's as the story goes, and I don't know if this is true or not. It's down to urban legend, but someone apparently asked Eric Clapton one time what it was like to be the world's greatest guitar player, and Eric Clapton's response reportedly was, I don't know, you'll have to ask Prince.
How about that from Slow Hand?
Now, again, about this dentist in Ontario, or in Alberta, that's Ontario, right? About Alberta, Ontario, I think so. Dr. Zook, Z-U-K. In 2012, Dr. Zook purchased a dental crown made for Elvis Presley for $10,000 and is currently looking for other celebrity teeth to purchase.
How about that?
You know, the last time I went to my dentist, Dr. Shelley, well, not the last time, but over the last couple of years, I had to have an extraction over here. I'm pointing to the hole where the tooth used to be. And I just kind of semi-jokingly asked her, but half serious, half joking, can I have this? And you can't, it's like the answer is no, that is medical waste, and they can't legally give you that, even in a jar or anything.
Isn't it a biohazard?
It's a biohazard. You can't, there's just, that's the law. You can't do that. I mean, you know, when you were a kid, you'd have a tooth under your pillow and you might keep it in a, I don't know, little jar or something. But no, you can't do that. So I'm fascinated by this. Is this John Lennon tooth preserved in amber, or is it hermetically sealed, or what's the deal? What is the deal on that?
It's incredible. I was just reading the stuff that people buy for their if they're into certain celebrities, but boy, you would think the John Lennon tooth it would go for a little bit more if it was cleaner,
right?
You would think, wouldn't it?
Well,
here on Bayou 95.7, Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Always think of that video when I hear that song by Tom Petty. Mary Jane and Kim Basinger starred in that video, and she played a dead woman. And I thought of that when I just saw this story out of Texas. A Texas woman was living with her dead mother for 3 years. Three years.
Kim was from Texas, or is from Texas, right? I believe.
I think this is a different dead person.
Coincidence.
A 47-year-old Texas woman has been arrested after authorities discovered she and her daughter had been living in a house with her mother's corpse for 3 years. After finding skeletal remains in the residence, this is what authorities believe. And now they went back and they're looking into this case, because whenever something like this happens, you know, they want to see if another crime was committed besides living with your dead mother for 3 years to collect all of her senior citizen benefits, because that's why people live with their dead relatives. And if it's not for that reason, it's because of severe mental illness. But what's interesting about this case is
I had a friend who continued to feed his dead cat for about 2 weeks. I think that was a... difficulty in separation issue, but go ahead.
This woman who was arrested, her name is Delissa Creighton, and they know that her mother fell back in 2016, 3 years ago. Her mother fell and hit her head and died a few days later lying on the floor. according to the police. Now they're thinking that her fall didn't kill her and that her daughter, if she wanted to, could have brought her mother to the doctor, to the hospital, whatever the case may be, to have her checked out after that fall, because the police are convinced now that her mother falling was not life-threatening. But the daughter did not provide adequate assistance to her mother. And so for 3 years, from 2016 through 2019, Delissa Creighton, along with her young daughter, resided in the same house with her dead mother. That's got to have some kind of effect on the little on the little grandchild, doesn't it? I mean, if that's how the grandkid knows the grandmother.
You would hope it would. You would hope the child would be affected by it, not in a bad way, but maybe be able to peck out 911 on a phone somehow and say, get me the hell out of here.
Well, and she's going to get in trouble for scamming the government. You can't be
scamming the government.
Yeah, and you can't be living with your dead mother, collecting the government checks, that kind of thing. And again, that's why most people do this. But now they're looking into this woman saying she may have been responsible for her mother's death. And boy, the grandkid living there. You know, I see some of these stories and I look around. I live in New Orleans and I look around and see how somebody... Man, I should thank my lucky stars every day for the upbringing I had. No dead grandmothers in the house.
Everything you say. That may reappear at some point. Mark the tape on that one.
Coming up next, we will look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next. And we hope you'll stick around for that report here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
July 15th
is National Tapioca Pudding Day. I love tapioca pudding.
Sure.
There are some people who don't like it because the little seeds there, the little, what would you call that? The little...
Tappy seeds? Tappy seeds?
No, it's just like the little starch pellets that is in tapioca pudding, but they just give it that little the texture. It's the same. I think if you were to expand those little tapioca pellets, it would be the same thing, roughly, that's in bubble tea. Do you like bubble tea? Are you a bubble tea fan?
I don't know what that is.
You never had bubble tea?
No.
All right, we'll move on. It's also National I Love Horses Day.
But I like tapioca pudding and I like horses.
There you go. It's your day.
July 15th. It was 13 years ago today. Twitter launched. The very first tweet happened 13 years ago today. And although Twitter, there'll never be as many people on Twitter that are on, let's say, Facebook or Instagram, Twitter is really big with the media in America. News media, sports media, pretty much every person, most people that are in the media, they're on Twitter. And a lot of them, they get jobs based on how many people follow them on Twitter. And we also know Twitter as a large sewer. And
See, I disagree. I think that Facebook is much more the sewer than is Twitter. Much more.
Huh. Levels of being a sewer. I mean, you can say both of them are sewers, but...
Yes.
July 15th. It was today in 1997.
Why today doesn't suck.
Fashion designer Gianni Versace was murdered, shot and killed right on the front steps of his mansion.
What year was that?
1997.
It's been that long? Wow.
Yeah, he was shot and killed right on the front steps of his mansion. And I used to live not far from there on Miami Beach. He was shot by a guy named Andrew Cunanan, and Cunanan was dressed to kill. And then Cunanan ended
ironic.
Up... ironic? Cunanan ended up holing up on a houseboat, Miami Beach, and they got him a few days later down the street from where he killed Gianni Versace. That was sad. July 15th. It was today in 1971.
Why today doesn't suck?
This was a big deal in 1971. President Richard Nixon announced he is visiting communist China. China is still communist, and now, you know, it's not that big of a deal if people visit there, heads of state.
Well, it was not only a big deal that he was visiting, but as is portrayed in the great movie, although I'm not the biggest fan of Oliver Stone's conjecture in movies like Nixon and JFK, but the great scene in Nixon with Anthony Hopkins playing Nixon, it's not just visiting, but it's like he's sitting around with the members of the his inner circle, Henry Kissinger among those, and it's like, Mr. President, are you actually suggesting that the United States of America will recognize Red China? Because that's what it was, you know, it was the Red Menace back then, so it was a huge deal.
Very big deal. July 15th, it was today in 1986.
Why today doesn't suck?
Columbia Records dropped Johnny Cash after having the Man in Black on their record label for 26 years. After 26 years, Columbia...
What year was that?
That happened in 1986.
Hmm.
The legend Johnny Cash was dropped from his record company.
It was on this date, July 15th, in the year 2002.
Why today doesn't suck?
Bob Seger won the 78th annual sailboat race from Port Huron to Mackinac Island in Michigan, his home state, with a 62-foot boat called Night Move. No, I'm sorry, it's called Lightning, not called Night Moves. It was on this date, July 15th, 1999.
Why today doesn't suck?
Grateful Dead singer and guitarist Bob Weir marries girlfriend Natasha Munter. This was Weir's first marriage. So I don't know if those two kids are still together.
I wonder if she was a deadhead.
Don't know. Probably. On this date, July 15th, I crossed out that I wrote over the date, 1998.
Why today doesn't suck?
Aerosmith drummer Joey Kramer is involved in a freak accident when his car caught fire and was completely destroyed at a gas station while filling up. That's always bad. He was treated for second-degree burns, and Aerosmith had to postpone 14 concerts then. I guess this is back, again, this is back in 1998. But 14 shows had to be trashed or burned up as well. It was on this date, and this is ironic, a footnote here, but first, on this date, July 15th, 1973.
Why today doesn't suck?
The Kinks' Ray Davies announces on stage during a Kinks concert at London's White City Stadium that he would be retiring from music. After the concert, he collapsed at a hospital. News just this past last couple of days, the Kinks are reforming after how long? Away from each other at least 20 years.
Yeah, I think it's three out of the four original guys from the early 60s, too. And, of course, Ray Davies survived getting shot here in New Orleans in between them,
that's
too.
True. On this day, July 15th, 1989.
Why today doesn't suck?
While Pink Floyd performed at a floating stage in Venice, that's kind of redundant because everything floats in Venice, right? Their audience of 200,000 ended up causing damage to Venice's bridges, and they made marble crumble from centuries-old buildings. You can't be doing that. Birthdays today include... Now, I'll have to ask you if a couple of these are still alive. Johnny Thunders, guitarist for the New York Dolls, still with us?
No, he died here in the French Quarter.
Is that the one?
Rigor mortis was setting in when they pulled him out, yeah.
Well, he was born in... it doesn't matter, he didn't make it. Great guitar player Joe Satriani. He's alive because he sends me contests constantly, wanting me to win various guitars, and I haven't won one yet. So Happy birthday to Joe. And drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd, born in on this date in 1948.
Why today doesn't suck.
Artemus Pyle, dead or alive? Artemus Pyle's
alive.
Still,
he's still alive.
He's still alive, okay. Because with Lynyrd Skynyrd, you play dead or alive, it could go either way.
It's a crapshoot. July 15th, it was today in 1948.
Why today doesn't suck.
Alcoholics Anonymous was founded.
By Bill W. Is that right? That's why everyone says, I'm a friend of Bill W.
Is that him?
I think so.
But
isn't that code for, my name is Brewster, and I'm an alcoholic?
I mean, that's long before they knew. Sure, obviously in 1948, you knew you could have a problem with alcohol, but they didn't know exactly what to do after that. But yeah, one guy said, you know, today in 1948, I'm Bill W.
I think that's who it is.
And I'm an alcoholic. I have a drinking problem.
And at that time, a lot of it was kept hush hush. It was the stigma of alcoholism. The first step of just admitting that one had a problem.
Is that the first of the 12 steps?
It's one of them. I don't know. I'm not really an alcoholic. I've tried several times, but it doesn't stick.
You would think that would have to be the first step, because you couldn't admit you're an alcoholic like on step 3 or 4 and then, you know, and do anything about it. You would think that would be the foundation, the first step of all of your steps.
You see, you didn't learn from listening to me box myself into a corner on this, so you went ahead and did it too. So it's all you. Go ahead. It's all you.
July 15th. It was today in 1988.
Why today doesn't suck.
I couldn't figure a way out of it.
The movie that made Bruce Willis a movie star debuted today in 1988. The Great Die Hard.
Yes.
Where he played the cop John McClane. He was on a television show before that, Moonlighting, but this is what made him propel to the next level. And I like all of those Die Hard movies. I think they're good.
And finally,
July 15th, it was today in 1903.
Why today doesn't suck.
Ford Motor Company takes its very first order. Today in 1903, somebody ordered a Ford. The newly formed Ford Motor Company took its very first order from a dentist in Chicago.
Okay.
Named Ernst Fenning.
Hmm.
And he ordered an $850 two-cylinder Model A automobile with a back seat. And then that car was produced at Ford's plant on Mack Street in Detroit. It's now Mack Avenue.
What's the dentist's name?
The dentist that bought the very first Ford?
Yeah.
Ernst Fenning, and that's Fenning.
I think that's the dentist that Sir Laurence Olivier played in Marathon Man when he said,
ooh,
is it safe? And Dustin Hoffman says, no, it's not safe at all. It's completely not safe. And again, Laurence Olivier says, is it safe? And Dustin Hoffman this time says, yes, it's very safe. It's as safe as could be. That movie, if you have, and I used to, I don't have those sound effects anymore, but if you have a problem at all with going to the dentist, even just going into the waiting room, don't see Marathon Man with Dustin Hoffman and the late Sir Laurence Olivier.
Yeah, I've had nightmares about that movie.
And that's a segment that we call, Is It Safe?
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, we'll tell you, even though Tropical Storm or Hurricane Barry never really materialized, we will tell you how some very good came out of this for people that needed it. I'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Did you watch any of the Wimbledon final yesterday? I'm a big sports fan. I mean, tennis is all right. You know, it's like I mentioned when the United States women's soccer team was playing. It's cool to watch our soccer team, men or women, when they're on a world stage, whether it's the World Cup, the Olympics, competing for a world championship. That even though I'm really not a big soccer fan, it's kind of the same with tennis. Here's Wimbledon, Brewster. Wimbledon. It's the Wimbledon tennis tournament final.
Now, see, this right here, that's silent, too. It's just Wimbledon.
And I was flipping through yesterday. Absolutely historic. It was the first time in history, and they've been playing that thing since the 1800s. It's the first time in history that the men's final was decided in a fifth set tiebreaker. I couldn't believe that. I figured there had to be fifth set tiebreakers before. But the younger stud beat the older stud. Roger Federer lost. He's 37 years old. And the fact that he can be playing in tennis matches that are almost 5 hours long and competing at his age, at 37, in tennis, he should have been gone years ago. But Roger Federer just came up short yesterday. You know, he's arguably the greatest tennis player who ever lived, Roger Federer. And the guy who beat him yesterday, the Serb, Djokovic, he's the greatest tennis player in the world right now, and he's something else. But I mean, these guys are playing for 5 hours, and just incredible. And to watch the last hour of that was, as a sports fan, that was something yesterday. And we'll see how that you would have to think. I mean, Father Time, Roger Federer, how many more times he's going to be up there again? And Djokovic happens to be in his prime, but that was something watching that from England. All right, coming up on the show, I've got details on how this latest R. Kelly arrest went down, and the people closest to him are the reason. And we're going to tell you what they did to get him arrested. It's incredible. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock Led Zeppelin there. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So we should be very thankful this morning that Tropical Storm or Hurricane Barry never really materialized in the New Orleans metropolitan region. It was nothing more than a bit of rain for some people. And I just wonder, When the local television stations, when it hit them, when they realized, look, we've been on for how long now? 36 hours straight and nothing, and nothing is really happening. I wonder if viewers started letting them know how they felt. I wonder if viewers said,
"Oh no, come on, seriously? Do you really believe that?"
But I just wonder if, like, when they decided, look, we've been on around the clock for a couple of days, nothing is happening here with the storm.
It's all the only reason they go on, and we're going to talk more about this later in the show. But it's all based on what the National Weather Center and in the case of tropical weather, the NOAA, what they have to say. And so once they see things start to settle down, from those two agencies, then you kind of look at your watch and you look at yourselves, and you've got whoever's in master control making the decision, and it's like, let's go with Wheel of Fortune in 5 minutes, and that's how it works.
And again, like Brewster said, we'll talk more about this later coming up on the show, but they have to err on the side of caution.
Sure.
Rather than be wrong the way they were wrong this past weekend with this storm, nothing happens, than them being wrong in the other direction. When they weren't prepared, they weren't telling us about it, and then all of a sudden we got whacked.
Right.
So.
And if that's, we'll talk more about that coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. So some good came out of the storm this weekend. There was supposed to be a really big sorority sisters convention at the Morial Convention Center. The Delta Sigma Theta sorority convention was all set for the convention center, but it got canceled because of the storm. And One of the issues they had is they had an enormous amount of food that they were ready to celebrate with at their big sorority sister convention at the convention center. That's why I was hanging out around there over the weekend, because I was hoping that they'd see through all of the hype for Tropical Storm or Hurricane Barry, and they would still, the sorority sisters would still grab their pillows, put on their pajamas, and go into the convention center and have a big sorority sister. I'm just thinking that's what they do.
What are you talking about?
I'm just thinking that's what sorority sisters do when they get together. Pillow fights, things like
These aren't sorority current. Oh, Jesus. Go ahead.
Well, anyways,
I don't have the energy. It's Monday. I don't have the energy. Go ahead.
Well, the threat of Tropical Storm Barry caused a huge Delta Sigma Theta sorority convention at the convention center to end days early. But the meals that the members of the service organization plan to dine on, they're not going to go to waste. Instead, about 17,000 portions of chicken breast, potatoes au gratin, mac and cheese, and a flourless chocolate cake.
Mm.
I guess that would be gluten-free, right? Chocolate cake? The
flour? I guess. I don't live a GF lifestyle, so I couldn't tell you.
Neither do I. And a bunch of other items were donated to the Second Harvest Food Bank. Friends of ours. Friends of this radio station, the Second Harvest Food Bank.
Very nice.
And they'll be able to distribute those in the near future to hungry people. So that's how you take something that's bad. That's when they say you take lemons and you make lemonade. Here, you take flourless chocolate cake, and you're able to make a big feast for a bunch of hungry people that will need it. Yeah, evidently that's the first time I've ever seen a sorority sister convention at the convention center.
You realize these are alumni. These are not current college students.
No. Yes. Some are older. Some are a lot older. But some still have that sorority sister
glow,
swag.
What?
Swagger to them. They've got that sorority sister swagger to them. And I just found it interesting because I always keep an eye on what's happening at the convention center. They have conventions for all kinds of different things, and this was the first time that I had ever seen a sorority sister convention. And I thought this was really cool how a bunch of this extra food ended up going to the Second Harvest Food Bank.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And
it's wonderful.
And an organization called Flood and Disaster Outreach New Orleans Cooks. They were the ones also helping distribute this food to people who need it. We have a friend over there at the Second Harvest Food Bank. He's their spokesman. His name's Jay Weiss, and he's a good guy. And he said, boy, oh, boy, donations are crucial during disaster relief operations. Again, coming from sorority sister conventions that had to be cut short, what do you do with all that extra food? There you go. And I'm glad that our radio station and we're friends with the Second Harvest Food Bank. They do great work. They do God's work. So, hey, it's a way you could take a negative and turn it into a positive. And one other thing, did you see what was happening down in Houma? I thought Houma got hit a little bit harder than we did. And yesterday, the Houma police were conducting damage assessments as a result of Hurricane Barry. And while doing that, officers in Houma heard several shots, some of which, these are gunshots, some of which were extremely close, whizzing by the Houma police officers. Their cops observed a burgundy sedan heading in the direction of the shooting, and that resulted in officers returning fire at the vehicle. Luckily, no officers were hurt down there in Houma, but some cops getting shot at or bullets going near Houma cops seems to be one of the one of the largest headlines as we wake up after what was supposed to be Tropical Storm or Hurricane Barry. Good thing that no Houma officers down there in Houma were hurt. All right, coming up on the show, I'm going to tell you next how people close to the singer R. Kelly, they did the right thing, finally, because how many people that were close to him for years did nothing, and he got away with all of his crimes? Wait till you hear what they did to get him busted on the federal charges. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So there was a sad story out of Oregon. They just found the remains of some guy.
Some guy.
Well, they found the remains. They found a dead body, parts of a dead body.
It's not the dead body part. It's the guy. They found the remains of some guy.
No.
A man was found missing. And then you expand upon that. It turns out it may be an actor, and that actor may be.
He's a working actor, and he was on 50 or 100 different TV shows and movies, but no one would ever know his name. But he is best known for what he appeared in one episode of Seinfeld.
His name is Charles Levin, and here's the episode, the only one he appeared in.
Oh, that's some oil.
Hello, I'm the Moyle.
Oh, hello.
It's very nice to meet you all. What was that? She scared the hell out of me, my God. I almost had a heart attack. Okay, I'm fine. Anyway, we're here to perform the mitzvah of the bris. Is the baby gonna cry like that? Is that how the baby cries, with that loud, sustained, squealing cry? Because that could pose a problem. Do you have any control over your child? Because this will be the time to exercise it. When baby is crying in the high-pitched, squealing tone that could drive you insane!
Did you find the place all right?
Did I find it all right? Could you send me to a more dangerous neighborhood? I'm dreading walking back to the subway. Someone shouldn't smack me over the head and steal my bag. Because I'll be lying there and people will spit on me and empty my pockets. I'll be lying in the gutter like a bum, like a dog, like a mutt, like a mongrel, like an animal. God forbid anybody should help me or call an ambulance. Oh, no, that's too much trouble. To pick up a phone and press a few buttons. What's the point?
You know how they say art imitates life? I'm wondering if this guy was like this in real life. My question would be, is it any wonder he was found dead?
Well, the funniest part about that, there he was there to perform the cutting.
Right, the bris, the circumcision.
And the guy was a nervous wreck. He couldn't stop shaking. He's
sweating. He's shaking.
You would think the last thing in the world he would do for a living is to be cutting private parts of babies.
Right.
But you did a good job as an actor when you were only on one episode of a television show, and it's very, very memorable.
Yes.
Well, the guy's name is Charles Levin. Mm-hmm. He is now 70, and
he was in The Golden Child. He was in Annie Hall. He was in This Is Spinal Tap. Lots of TV shows, L.A. Law, Murphy Brown. He's one of those.
The working actor.
Working actor. Very character actor. Obviously, he would be cast in roles where he was playing a Jewish character, like the Moyle, which I think would be casting over the top. But certainly, as you mentioned, totally memorable.
Yeah, and that's how most actors are. I mean, we know famous actors because they get lucky and they get on a hit TV show, a hit movie.
Right.
But 90% of the actors out there are guys like this that are just trying to make a living. They go from one thing to another.
Exactly.
And R.I.P. to the actor who played the Moyle, the shaking, nervous wreck of a Moyle on Seinfeld, Charles Levin, who passed away, 70 years old.
Yeah.
Coming up next on the show, we're going to tell you how this woman struck back when her car got stolen. She got her car back, but authorities wouldn't recommend you do this. We'll tell you what she did here on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Have you ever had your car stolen? Well, obviously, it's the second biggest investment that most people make is their automobile. And if you have a car that's fairly new and you like it and you get it stolen, boy, oh, boy, horrible feeling. Well, that just happened to this woman in the state of Missouri. And she got her car back. She actually stole her car back from the thief who stole her car from her.
It's like Grand Theft Auto.
Her car was stolen. And what she did, authorities are telling people, you probably should not do this. She tracked down the suspects via her debit and credit card purchases, because evidently she left that in her car as well when it got stolen. And because she decided by looking at her statements where her debit card was being used and where her credit card was being used, Danielle Reno is her name. And she said, you know what? I know where he's spending my money right now. She went to
he or she could be.
But yeah, I guess most people who steal cars are guys, but I guess there could be the renegade female car thief. When her car got stolen first, she said, quote, I got out of the car for 2 seconds. I grabbed my daughter, turned around, and my car was gone. She couldn't believe it. Did I park somewhere else? No, I parked here. And then I'm like, somebody just stole my car. And so she did file a police report, obviously, which is what you should do. But then she took matters into her own hands. Because if you think about it, who's got the gumption in them to find your stolen car more than you?
Well, and I would imagine that many, I don't know if that's true or not, but I would imagine that many police agencies might tell you that, depending on where you live, and I'm not sure how it would be in Missouri, but once your car is gone and if it's headed toward a chop shop, I mean, it's oftentimes the bulk of the car is already on. By the time you realize it's gone and you file the report, it's already on a freighter going overseas to China or somewhere. That's true. That is actually true.
So after she called the cops, she started tracking the purchases on her debit and credit cards, as well as the activity on her cell phone. Because, again, she was only out of the car for a few seconds. She was taking her daughter out of the car to put her somewhere or bring her. And she turned around, literally, and her car was gone that fast. And Brewster, come to find out, you may be right. There was a woman involved in this. In the stolen automobile.
See?
And according to Danielle Reno, who had her car stolen, she said they started stalking this person. And a woman was there literally for 48 hours. They were following her in her own car that was stolen. They were following her to different spots where this woman...
The thieves were following the potential victim, right?
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. Who's following who?
The victim, the woman, Danielle Reno, who had her car stolen.
She's doing her own personal stakeout of who she thinks did it.
Yeah. And she knows who did it because she was tracking her debit and credit cards and her cell phone. And they found her car and they watched her go into a couple of different stores and buy a couple of things.
That's some damn fine amateur police work.
Yeah. And they quote, "We stalked for literally 48 hours. These people had no idea what we were doing." So the woman who had her car stolen was now stalking the people who stole her car. An attendant at a gas station told her that the alleged car thieves were headed into an Applebee's restaurant. So that's when Danielle Reno decided it was time for dinner. When the suspects were busy, Reno, while watching them, then took back what was hers.
That's awesome. And I'm, again, most police agencies would say, don't do that.
Probably shouldn't do this.
No.
And
I would think this would be right up your alley because you pine, you yearn to live in this this wild, wild west type world, this dystopia where there's really no, you don't call the police because they're too busy. So you just leave them alone. This is probably hitting you right where you live.
Well, I love the Wild West. I love an eye for an eye. I love all of this kind of stuff.
You're not playing Red Dead Redemption on PlayStation 4. 4. You would love it. It's exactly like that. It's the Wild Wild West. You take the law into your own hands, and it's endless fun. That's what I did all weekend.
Well, think about it. We live in a city, New Orleans, where if you get in a fender bender, it usually takes pretty much all day for the cops to show up.
Right.
So
if you get held up, don't call the police.
Well, no, but if you get your car stolen,
don't call the police.
Especially most people, if their cars are stolen, they're not going to have their wallet with their debit and credit cards in there. They're not going to have their cell phone in there. She just literally was removing her daughter from the car, walking a few feet to hand her daughter to somebody.
Right.
And someone hopped in her car and everything in there that she owned was in the car. And that's how she was able to track down where the vehicle was. And she waited till these people went into Applebee's to eat. And then, bang, she stole her own car back that was stolen from her. She stole it from the thieves. And she was unhappy that the thieves trashed her car to the point where she probably won't drive it anymore.
Right.
But once she got her car back, the police were notified. And the people who stole the car were arrested by deputies, I guess, not long after they were coming out of a meal at Applebee's. I wonder what went through their minds when they walked out of Applebee's
and
the car that they stolen wasn't
right. It wasn't there. Someone stole our stolen car.
Mm.
And the bad thing is, of course, they treated it like a rental. You know, it had bumps and dings and French fry grease on the seat, and it's just awful.
Well, obviously, those car thieves weren't planning on bringing it to a chop shop because you want it to be in the best possible condition. You wouldn't trash the thing, would you?
That really, I don't know what is the most, I think it depends on which car, which model, which make and model it is that whatever on that vehicle is most valued. So I'm not up on that. But I do know that in maybe not in a case like this where you have Bonnie and Clyde steal the car and then go out for a 5-star meal at Applebee's. Maybe they're not prototypical of what I'm describing, but in some of these car theft rings, it is the bulk of the vehicle is stripped and then whatever. Some portion of it. I saw this on, I don't know, Dateline. Check with Dateline. What do you want from me? But they go overseas. They're on freighters, and there goes your car.
Well, these people weren't they're never going to get confused with smart thieves, no. or they're probably not part of anything. They just happened to be walking by when this woman took her child out of the car, turned around, and they just, boom, they hopped in, and they stole it. But then they're so stupid that they got caught. And I just think, that's one for the good guys, right?
Yes. Yes. Happy ending.
A woman was able to steal the car back that was stolen from her.
That's right.
And good for Danielle Reno of Kansas City, Missouri.
The John Osterlin Show Citizen of the Day.
That's one of those good stories. Yes. It's a story of hope.
It's a feel-good story.
All right, coming up on the show, I got to give you these details on the latest R. Kelly arrest. That's next. You're not going to believe what happened here. And arguably the biggest bust in NFL draft history just got a job calling NFL football games. We'll tell you who that is coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So I've been keeping an eye on the whole R. Kelly situation, the singer who now, he was arrested again last week by federal agents after he's already been waiting trial in Chicago. Here's why the federal agents arrested him last week. Some people who were in his inner circle handed over sex tapes of R. Kelly with underage girls to the federal authorities. So, I mean, these are people that were in his inner circle. And while when we've talked about R. Kelly before, I've said, you know, there has to be other people involved that know about this, that have been covering up for this. Because when he was acquitted a decade ago on child pornography charges, the reason he was acquitted is because one of his underage victims, he paid off. He paid off her and her mother, paid them a lot of money. So she would get on the witness stand and say, I don't know who it was, I don't remember. That's one of the reasons why he beat those charges a decade ago. And then a few months ago, they ran a 3 or 4 night miniseries on R. Kelly. And I remember watching it coming in here in the morning, the next morning, saying, there is no way he is going to survive this. There is no possible way he's going to get away with this. And sure enough, not long after that, the Chicago police arrested him. And then last week, federal authorities from New York went to Chicago and they arrested him while he was walking his dog. And, you know, R. Kelly, he can't read or write. He's never learned how to read or write, which is incredible.
The guy, he's in his early 50s, right?
Yeah, the guy's made millions.
He can't read or write.
He's made millions and millions of dollars. He has to be the dumbest human being ever to make millions and millions and millions of dollars.
He's turned 52 in January.
And I had mentioned that there are people, his manager, the people that are closest to him, going way back when, they all knew about this, and he shouldn't be the only one that should go to jail for the rest of his life. The amount, I mean, the number is huge of underage girls that this guy did sex with. And, well, not that long ago, a couple of people in his inner circle went to the federal authorities and said, I got something here for you. So not only did R. Kelly, again, the guy can't read or write, not only did he break the law, but he recorded himself. He video recorded himself breaking the law over and over and over and over again. This guy is going to spend the rest of his life in prison. The last couple of times he got bailed out, he was bailed out by his fans because he had no more money. And I don't know if he's got any fans left that are that dumb.
Like a female fan bailed him out last time.
Last time,
right?
Yeah, go figure. After the things that he has done to so many underage girls, most of them black girls, they're going to have to keep this guy in solitary confinement when he goes to prison. Because a guy like that, they just can't have him out in the general population with the crimes he committed against such young underage girls. He'll never make it.
No.
I just found that fascinating why he was arrested by the feds last week while he's already waiting charges and waiting to go to court.
Right. Those who hurt kids don't fare well in prison.
But a couple of his people in his inner circle handed over recordings of him, this idiot. He recorded himself doing sex with underage girls, and that's it. That is it for him. Hey, coming up on the show, coming up next, Scarlett Johansson is getting slammed right now. And we'll tell you why the actress is getting hammered right now. Here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7.
Where can you get a real 4D deal? Yeah, to
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. You know, it's interesting, I'm going to the Rolling Stones concert tonight, but I have an extra ticket. You know, the show was supposed to be last night, but because of hurricane or tropical storm Barry that never really materialized, the Stones pushed back their show. They delayed it one night from Sunday to tonight, Monday night. And because of that, one friend of mine that was supposed to couldn't make it, couldn't actually get into town. He was supposed to fly in on Saturday, but Armstrong Airport was closed all day Saturday because of the storm. And so then I had another friend that was all set to go, but then all of a sudden he had to work tonight, and then a third friend has to work. So I've struck out.
I'll say you have.
Going to the Stones concert tonight. And you know what? I'm going to go to the pre-concert, too. The big pre-concert party over at Vintage Rock Club. That's right down the street from the Superdome. It's above Walk-Ons on Poydras Street. Maybe I'll give out my ticket there. Or hit me up on Facebook. But I'm excited to go to the show. This will be my third Rolling Stones show. And every time I've ever seen them before, they're really good. And it's not every day that you could see who many call the greatest rock and roll band ever playing. So if you're planning on going to the show tonight, before the show, stop at our pre-Rolling Stones bash at Vintage Rock Club. That's, again, and we're, you know what? We're going to not only play a lot of Stones music. That club is so cool. They got video screens, and you're going to be seeing Stones video stuff. And it's just I cannot think of a better place to get ready for a Rolling Stones show tonight.
And if you're not going, if this is not the Stones Spectacular Monday for you, we've got you covered too. Lots of Stones music starting at 5 o'clock before the show, and then later tonight after the show. Mm. For those of you like me who are not going,
I'm looking forward to it. And so, I got to figure out what. Hit me up if you want that extra ticket I got on me. So the actress Scarlett Johansson.
Hit him up personally. Don't call the station.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson. I'm a big fan. The actress. She's a really good actress. She's been getting slammed.
I'll say.
Well, no, not. Oh. But by fans.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And by people who really aren't her fans. Because she says, quote, I should be allowed to play any person I want to play. I should be allowed to play any person, a tree, an animal. And the reason she's making news, Brewster, is because she backed out of a film last year because she was supposed to play a transgendered person, but the LGBT group went crazy. They're like, you can't have this heterosexual woman playing a transgendered person. You need to have a real life transgender person playing the transgender person. Now, do you agree with the LGBT group there, or do you think any actor, any actress should be able to play any role that they want to play? I mean, if they're a good actor or a good actress, right?
This will be like watching Lawn Mowed or Paint Dry, listening to Brewster try to care about this. Let me try really hard. There's nothing there. I can't tell you. I don't think I've ever seen a movie with Scarlett Johansson in it. I certainly not at the box office.
Oh, that movie with Bill Murray.
Oh, my God. Lost in Translation?
Yes.
Oh, that was horrible. Horrible movie. I didn't care for it.
You didn't like that?
I didn't like that.
It was almost exactly 1 year ago when she dropped out of a movie called Rub and Tug because there was a heavy backlash. And you could chalk all of this up to social media. There was a heavy backlash that said that she, as a heterosexual woman, should not be allowed to play a transgender character.
Well, and we've seen and heard other versions of this. There have been similar reactions to having, I mean, you name the group, having non-African-American play that
sure.
part, Asians. You name the group, and there's always going to be somebody with their nose out of joint over similar things. But isn't that what actors do? Actors play
parts. They act.
They play parts. I mean,
yeah. Well,
I facetiously say I don't care. I still didn't like Lost in Translation. That's just, but I don't understand the crossing of the lines. Why an actor can't just play a role? Because that's what they do.
Well, this is you could chalk this up to social media, because again, this is social media speaking and getting in the faces of people who make decisions. 2 years ago, Scarlett Johansson was criticized for whitewashing Japanese manga with her role in the movie Ghost in the Shell.
There you go.
I never saw that one. But evidently, there are people on social media. And I guess they care about this a little more than you and I do, Brewster. I mean, I'm bringing it up because I think it's interesting. But they're saying, you know, straight actors should not be playing gay actors. Those roles should go to gay actors. You know, transgendered roles should be given to transgendered actors, not to straight actors. And this is something, again, we never would have seen before social media. This is, there are several things on this show that we have, that we've talked about where social media is the reason why things happen. Social media now is the reason why people get fired from their jobs for things that perhaps they wouldn't have gotten fired from their jobs before social media. Business owners, and whether you're talking about people who are making movies or people who work at TV stations or whatever the case may be, social media is in their face now. Where before social media, you know, they could slap someone on the wrist, or they could do this, or they could do that. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. But now with social media, they're seeing these people in the powerful positions at different companies, and they see it. It's in their face. Whoa, 7,000 people are telling me they clicked thumbs up, or they clicked like, or they clicked this. They're telling me we need to do something about this. Before social media, I don't think this would have even been talked about, how heterosexual actors should not be playing gay roles or transgender roles or things like that, because those roles should only be played by actors who are gay or actors who are transgender or actors who are this. I just found it. I chalk all of this up to social media, because we live in a new world now where, you know, people will get fired and lose their jobs for something they never would have gotten fired or lost their job for in the past before social media. But now that these powers that be, they see it. It's right in front of their face, and they see how many people, even if they are, you know, losers sitting on their couch in their underwear just clicking like and clicking this and clicking that, and they have opinions on everything, But now all of a sudden, because of social media, they seem to matter more. Is that a good thing? Or anyways, the way I look at it is anybody who's a professional actor, if they could play any role and they're good at it, should all that other stuff matter? Really? Should we really be bothered by it? Social media strikes again. Coming up next, hey, we'll tell you about arguably the biggest bust in NFL draft history. He just got himself a pretty good gig. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So there's been some big busts in NFL draft history. I can't think of any bigger than Ryan Leaf. You could say that there have been busts as big as Ryan Leaf. But here's a guy that many NFL experts said should have been taken ahead of Peyton Manning. It was that year, that draft, Peyton Manning went first, and then Ryan Leaf went second. And there were other NFL teams that there are other general managers, and they're on record too, saying that if they were in charge of the Indianapolis Colts that year, they would have drafted Ryan Leaf ahead of Peyton Manning. Manning went number one that year to the Colts, and then Ryan Leaf went number two that year to the Chargers when they had a football team in San Diego. And then Ryan Leaf just couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle anything. He was a head case. Then he got hooked on drugs. I think the drugs came a little bit later. It was just a horrible life. Well, Ryan Leaf now was just hired by ESPN, and he's going to be an analyst during college football games for ESPN. I mean, that is a great personal comeback story. I mean, this guy, the drugs really, really, I mean, he ended up doing prison time for drugs. I mean, his drug addiction turned him into, he was the number two overall draft pick in the NFL the year he went out. And then a few years after that, he was hooked on drugs and he was robbing people's houses because he needed money for dope. And he ended up in prison. And now he's got his life together again. And I know last year he did regional college football for Out West with the Pac-12 network. But ESPN decided to hire him this year. And the biggest draft bust in NFL history is now going to be, he's going to be in the broadcast booth doing color analysis on ESPN for college football games this year. I always like to see happy stories like that. And one other thing I wanted to bring up. Did you see where the electricity went out in New York City over the weekend, this past weekend? Did you see that? And there, I saw pictures of just a dark city.
The first thing I heard, I got some sort of an alert in my email because I signed up for all various different news things. It was in the underground. It was in the subway system that the power was out. And I'm thinking, oh boy, this is hopefully not, terrorist related. You hate to even say the word.
And I saw signs of Radio City Music Hall, no lights on that sign. Right. And there were things going around how the lights went out in New York City this week in Manhattan. The reason I brought that up, because after the lights went out, their mayor was nowhere to be found. Mm. They could not find their mayor, Bill de Blasio, because he was in Iowa. He's running for president, even though there's pretty much no one in New York City that wants him to be president.
Many in New York City don't want him to be mayor.
No. As a matter of fact, the police, the NYPD, the police union, the police chief, and all of the cops, they can't stand the guy. When he was on the Today Show talking about how he's running for president, the New York cops were behind the window there because they broadcast in front of the window where the sidewalk is. The New York cops were all holding up signs. No! God help us! No! And these are the New York cops talking about the New York City mayor who was running for president.
My favorite sign was, "Hell no, de Blasio."
Well, he wasn't around when the power went out this weekend. He was talking to the three or four people in Iowa that may be voting for him. So, interesting story. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride.
And is TV weather forecasting dead? I'll answer that for you. The answer is yes.
That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
Real quick, we had no more calls. We have a loser. The loser is me. I'm trying to say that that Alberta is in a province. Alberta is a province. It's not in a province.
It's out west.
In Canada. Yeah, yeah. It is a province. So I'm stupid. What can I tell you?
Last week on the show, we told you about a Facebook event that is being planned for Area 51.
This is the best.
Yeah, out in Nevada. So far, there's about a million people that said they're either interested or they're going. But remember, this is Facebook. A lot of people just sit around in their underwear and click, push buttons, and they never.
So how many have signed up?
About a million.
That means about 500 will show up.
And the event, it's a Facebook event scheduled for September 20th at 3 a.m. And it's called Storm Area 51. And that's the part of Nevada. That's where people believe that aliens, unidentified flying objects, and such were taken down.
Right. All manner of nuclear testing and alien autopsies and all of that. Very, very, very important stuff.
And so what the organizers of this group, Storm Area 51, are saying, if we run really fast, we can move faster than their bullets. Let's see them aliens.
Yes.
Well, now, because this social media campaign has gotten so big, our United States Air Force had to say, look, we discourage anyone from trying to come into the area, Area 51, where we train American armed forces. The United States Air Force always stands ready to protect America and its assets. So now you've got the United States Air Force telling this Facebook group not to storm Area 51.
Well, that's because that's what it wants them to believe. This message has been brought to you by the Reynolds Aluminum Corporation.
So if you're looking for aliens on September 20th, you might have to go someplace else, because the United States Air Force, they're very familiar with what is planned, and they're going to stop it from happening.
Oh, look what I found. As I was talking about it, look what I found.
Thanks for listening to the show today. We appreciate it.
Is it safe?
Ginty is coming up next. He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30.
Stone show tonight. Be at
Vintage Rock Club.
Yes. Doors open, I believe, about 4:30, somewhere in that area.
Yes.
The Yes Royal Affairs show tonight has been canceled, in case you're just waking up. See your ticket broker for whoever. Ticketmaster, if you got them through there, and they'll set you up with a refund.
Here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.